2 Corinthians 6. And we've been talking just a real quick review since we wasn't here last week. And I know it's been a couple weeks. But we've been talking about on Sunday nights how to tell if music is good or bad. How to tell if music is good or bad, and just some basic principles that the Bible gives about music, if you will. And we've been going through these things on Sunday nights that you could just take and use to judge music by. Some basic principles to determine what type of music the Lord would have you to listen to, and what music not to listen to stay away from. And the first thing we begin with was, where did music begin? We said music began in heaven. Amen. That's the place where music began, and we talked about especially Lucifer, or the devil. Amen. And his special role that he had there in heaven concerning music and the talents and the ability that God gave him with that in a special way. And some even call him the song leader there in heaven and things of that nature. But he definitely had a special talent when it come to music. So we talked about where it began. Then the second question we looked at was, what should or would be in a godly song? What would be in a good song? What is in a good song or good music? Some things that's in it that we should sing about. And we said, one is praise and thanksgiving. Two is victory he's given us. Three, singing about his works. Four, singing about his mercy. Sing when God delivers us from the enemy. Sing about his power. And sing about his blessings or his bountifulness. Amen. And we gave some scriptures to back up all those. And then the third question that we ask is, when do we sing? When's the appropriate time to sing? When should we sing? Because for everything there's a time, there's a season, as the Bible tells us. And we said the Bible tells us when people get right with God who've been backslidden, that's the time to sing. When among the lost, when you're glad, when you're happy, we should sing to someone who is down, amen, depressed, if you will. When praying or coming into God's presence, into God's house specifically, we talked about that in church. And during a time of celebration, as they brought back the Ark of the Covenant, being an example of that. And then last time, 2 weeks ago when we were together, we talked about and spent the service talking about how we should sing. How we should sing, if you will. Or we might say this, what types of songs we could sing. We had talked about as well in the fact that we should sing with our whole heart, the Bible said. We should sing with understanding as the Holy Spirit leads. And to the Lord is the way that we ought to sing. Those three ways is how we should sing. And we saw in that from Ephesians 5, especially verses 17 through 20, along with a couple other passages, we saw that we should sing, if you will, three types of songs: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. And we talked about each type and what the differences was between those three types of songs in detail. I'll remind you of the last one tonight, because that kind of ties in with where we're going to hook up and finish up at tonight, Lord willing. Is the last type of song we talked about was a spiritual song. Amen. And we talked about the opposite of spiritual is something that is carnal or fleshly, if you will, or not spiritual, it's worldly, of the world. We talked about those ideas and those things in a lot in detail, and I'm sure most of you remember that, if you will, of how our songs should be spiritual songs. They should be a new song. We talked about that a little bit. One that's not carnal, non-carnal, but it's one talking about, if you will, the heavenly things, a spiritual song, if you will. Those are the three types that the Bible says we ought to sing to the Lord. But the last two questions we'll look at tonight, the first one is this: what should we not sing about? We've talked about what we should sing about. We've talked about all the positives. Amen. We've talked about all the positive things that should be in music and surrounding music, and when and how and who and where, and all of it's been positive up to this point. So let's talk about the negative just for a few minutes tonight. What should we not sing about? What should we not sing about? Or what should not be in our music? Well, the Bible lays down some clear principles, and some of them we've kind of talked about already. I'll just, to begin with, draw your attention to, he said we're supposed to sing a spiritual song. And so if we're supposed to sing a spiritual song to the Lord, then one thing that should not be in our song is stuff that is what? Not spiritual. That is worldly. That is fleshly. That is carnal. Amen. Because those are the opposite of a spiritual song, a carnal song, a fleshly song, a worldly song, if you will. Here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 15, and you're familiar with these verses, I know, and these verses do not mention music in them, but they apply to music and to every area of our life when it comes to things that we ought to stay away from and helping us judge what to do and not to do that the Lord would be pleased with. Here, if you will, in 2 Corinthians. I'm in the wrong spot, y'all. Let me turn. I'm in 1 Corinthians. That ain't going to help us, is it? 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 15. It says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Every one of us that are saved, amen, we're His temple, we're His tabernacle, even like we talked about in Sunday school just a little bit this morning. "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You say, why do you show us those verses if they don't talk about music? Because they talk about the fact that we as children of God, our bodies being the temples of God, that we shouldn't have concord or make agreement or yoke ourselves up, if you read the verses before that, with the things of this world. Amen? With the lost, if you will. Not saying we can't witness to the lost or try to win them. Not talking about that. But I'm talking about trying to mix the spiritual with the carnal is not something that we should do. Amen? You think about where our bodies is the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be clean and pure. And as verse 17 says, separate ourselves from some things. And that includes in our area of music in our life. We ought to separate ourselves from those things that are not spiritual, that are against God, the fleshly, the worldly things that we could get into. Turn to another good verse, James chapter number 3. This verse, James 3, we use a lot of times again for a lot of different things, but this applies as well to the area of music, the principle that's being taught here. James 3 and verse number 10. James 3 and verse number 10. The Bible, and I'd encourage you to remember these verses right here, these two, when it comes to music specifically nowadays for the things that we face. James 3 and verse 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing." Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. We've talked about many times about, and I know, you know, you think about sometimes you have people that you work with or different people, and one minute they talk about going to church, and the next minute it's, right, you know what I'm talking about, right? Blessing and cursing out the same mouth. Now, I know sometimes we all may slip up and say something or whatever that we shouldn't do. But you know what I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the way some people, it's just all the time. That's what I'm talking about, okay? You think about blessing and cursing, amen? Just out of the same mouth proceeding, that should not happen, the Bible says. "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." It shouldn't be this way. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" No, doesn't happen that way, right? Not sweet, not bitter, same place. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries?" No, either a vine figs. "So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Amen. In other words, simply making the point tonight this, that when it comes to the Christian things, they shouldn't be mixed with what? The worldly things. Amen. The things of God shouldn't be mixed with the things of the world. In other words, just like the concord, the agreement with Christ, Belial, all those other verses that we just looked at. In other words, tonight, you think about this. To take and to attach the name Christian to any type of genre of music, there's something wrong with that. Amen. You can't take tonight and say there's a such thing as Christian rap music. That's taking the same fountain, amen, and trying to attach it to the world's fountain. Amen. You think about Christian rock, some of a lot of these other things that we get into nowadays. And you think about it's trying to take the world's music, the world's sound, all those things, and trying to mix the two together. out of the same fountain, it can't come together. It's not meant to be that way. It doesn't please God. Amen? It doesn't please God. It only pleases the flesh, if you will. Those are not spiritual songs. They may have a few good words. Some of the words may sound like ours, but you can't take and mix from those opposite fountains and things come out right. It doesn't work that way, folks. You take tonight and you mix, and we talked about this before, you make poison. And a lot of times that poison's 99% good, right? But that 1% bad does what? It ruins the whole thing. Amen? I thought about this past week as I was thinking about some of these things and as I was working in different things. I thought about apples a lot of times, right? A bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Amen? You think about potatoes. Same thing, right? Boy, I hate potatoes when they get rotten and bad. Them things is awful, ain't they? If you ain't found them at the store when they get rotten and bad for long, you'll have a runny, gooey, ooey mess. Amen? And the whole thing will be stinking and flies will be coming. And anyway, that's enough of that. It's just awful, right? You think about the same thing's true when it comes to trying to mix the world's rotten, the devil's rotten music, amen, with the spiritual things, amen. It doesn't work. You think about tonight, there is a difference. Some people tonight, let me say this, some people want to take and they want to try to say, well, music is amoral. You know what that means, right? There's music is neither good nor bad. That's the same thing tonight, honestly, as me trying to say that I'm neither good nor bad. That doesn't work, does it? Because you think about who wrote the songs that we have out there nowadays. Humans did. Men did, right? You think about everything as either there's some good or there is bad. Amen. You think about tonight simply, you can't mix the two. Music is not our moral tonight. It's either good or it's wrong. You think about there's a difference between good music and the world's music. There's a spiritual song, there's a non-spiritual. There's a carnal, a fleshly song, if you will. And I'm going to make some assumptions tonight, okay, based off everything we've talked about, okay? And if you want to go back and look in your notes, I'm going to kind of refer back to them in the next couple minutes. Talking about what should not be in our music. Well, I believe tonight, based off everything that we've looked at, that one thing, there's a lot of the things that should not be in our music tonight is music that's not addressed to God. Music that's not addressed to God, that does not lift up, praise, worship, and honor the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that music, if you will, should not be in our music. You say, why do you say that tonight? Because turn back and look at all the other things we've talked about up to this point. Remember, we talked about laying down principles. Because everything we've seen from the Bible about good music up to this point, what things do we say should be in a good song? Praise and thanksgiving, victory He's given, about His works, His mercy, His deliverance, His powerful, His blessings, His bountifulness. You see what all the things is being a good song? So what would be in a song that's not a good song? About somebody or something else other than Him. Amen? Things they've done. You think about simply tonight, it is all about the Lord. That was the purpose of music in the beginning. Amen? It was created to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. That's what the purpose of it was, to lift up the name of God. But the world's music would, instead of having spiritual things, a spiritual song to the Lord, it would have fleshly things. You can take today and listen to the world's music and you hear a lot of fleshly stuff, don't you? You hear things about drugs, right? You hear things about sex, right? You hear things about alcohol, right? You hear things about smoking, right? You hear things about running around on your wife, right? You hear things about cheating, right? You hear all those types of things in the world's music today. You hear a lot of bad language in the world's music today, don't you? It amazed me, even a lot of the genres of music that used to not use bad language, what happens nowadays in that music? There's a lot of bad language in them now that used to not be there. I'm just simply saying, when you start looking and judge by the principles we've looked at up to this point, in other words, simply this, what should not be in our music? Lifting up sin rather than the Savior. Amen? Singing about sin and lifting up sin rather than the Savior that saved us from our sin. Amen? You think about the fact tonight, that's another thing that should not be, if you will, in our music, is lifting up or glorifying or praising, if you will, sin. The second thing I believe we need to keep in mind that should not be in our music is something that might defile the sanctuary of God. Ephesians chapter number 5. Turn with me there. And this verse kind of backs up what I'm getting ready to say. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5, 18. And the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves." We read these verses last week in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. In other words, simply this, that we need to be singing songs to the Lord that's going to honor, lift up, and glorify Him and won't defile His sanctuary. Because after all, whose tabernacle are we? Whose sanctuary are we? Who lives within us? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We ought to be filled with His Spirit. Amen. And therefore, if we're filled with His Spirit, what's our song going to be? A spiritual song. Amen. Just like we talked about last week, in a song that honors the Lord will be one that is to the Lord. That's a spiritual song that lifts up and praises His name. You think about, just to give you this thought tonight, okay? Just a thought that the Lord gave me. I thought about this one day, and you can judge a lot of things by something similar to this. But just talking about music with our subject we're looking at tonight, what I listen to in my car, would I feel comfortable listening to if the Lord was actually sitting physically, bodily, right there beside me? Would I feel comfortable? Would I say, "Lord, do you like this song? Let me turn it up a little bit so you can listen to it with me." A lot of times that helps us, things like that, to judge whether we should be or ought not be doing something, right? Think about the same thing when it comes to our music. Could we turn it up and say, "Lord, listen to this new song. Listen to this." You think about, if you say, "Oh, I don't know about that," then maybe that's probably a good sign, amen, that's not the music we need to be listening to, amen. You think about simply today, something that would defile His sanctuary. You say, "But I wouldn't listen to it in church." But remember, your body is the temple of the Lord, and where you go, He goes, amen. What you put in here, amen, is the same thing. That's His sanctuary, amen. You think about today, we need to keep a clean, holy body and sanctuary before the Lord. That's what the Bible says, amen. I'm just telling you what it says. He is to control us. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit, as this verse says, which is the will of the Lord. You think about tonight, He's the one that controls us, that we ought to give control to. We talk about walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. And one thing that'll help with that is if we got good music. Amen. That'll help us to walk in the Spirit, to keep our hearts and minds focused on heavenly things, not on earthly things. But a lot of the world's music, what does it get us to focus on? Our flesh and our emotions. Amen. Our flesh and our emotions. Whereas a good song will be one that lifts up Him and that gets us focused on Him rather than ourselves. We're to be Spirit-led in everything we do. Amen. Not emotional and feeling-led. And the same thing's true when it comes to our music. You think about tonight, we ought to be led by His Spirit. Another thing that we might say that should not be in our music is something that does not praise God. Something that don't praise God. Something that does not, another thing that does not thank God. Amen. But instead lifts up and thanks and praises a person. Because you think about tonight, what is the center and the focus of music in the beginning? It was about lifting up God, wasn't it, in heaven? And what did the devil get to the place that caused his fall, if you will? Instead, who did he want to lift up? Himself. Something other than God. You think about today, that's the same thing the world's music does, doesn't it? It seeks to lift up something else other than the one it was intended to lift up and to bring glory to His name in the beginning. You think about it, it all kind of connects together if you look at the principles that we've been trying to look at over the last several weeks. I know it's a lot, but you start looking at it, praying about it, and the Lord will show you clearly what we've been trying to talk about. So we talk about tonight, what should we not sing about? There's a list of some things based off the principles that we've looked at up to this point. So there's really only one question left that I can think of when it comes to music, and we'll be done. You think about another kind of the negative side, if you will. You say, you've talked a lot about the good things in the Bible from Scripture concerning music and the way it should be, and then you kind of gave us some things that shouldn't be based off the good things, kind of the opposites, if you will. So where in the Bible does it help us to identify what wrong music is? Is there anywhere in the Bible where wrong music or bad music is talked about and mentioned that could help me today to say, uh-oh, that looks like just back in the book of so-and-so and chapter so-and-so when that took place. I need to stay away from that music. Is there somewhere in the Bible that I can have an example of bad music? I've only found two examples of where bad music was used, if you will, and what happened when it was used. I've only found two specific examples where bad music was a part of, if you will, we'll say God's people, and some things happened that was surrounding both of these events that are really similar and really interesting if you look at it. Turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. These are the only two times I've seen. There may be more, but this is all I've found. Two bad examples, if you will, where music was used in a bad way, and we see what the results was in Scripture. Exodus 32. We're going to read a good many verses on these last two points tonight of the examples of bad music from Scripture, because there's only two of them. We'll read a good bit of these two passages. You're familiar with them. Exodus 32 and verse number 1. It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount," he had went up to the top of the mountain to meet with the Lord, right? To get the Ten Commandments. You remember that, right? That's where we are right now. "The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Boy, there's a lot of lies in here, ain't there? A lot of things we can talk about. But let's read on what happened. Verse 5. "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord." Not really, right? It was more feast of that calf. "And they rose up early on the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Skip down with me, if you would, to verse number 15, for the sake of time. It says, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writing of God was the writing of God. And the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp." Boy, I've wondered several times what exactly that must have sounded like. And so it was a shout going on down there, and it sounded like there was a battle going on and taking place. And Moses thinks, what in the world? The Lord had gave him a glimpse, evidently, from the previous verses about the calf and all that. And then now he hears all this racket, and he thinks, oh my, what's going on? Verse 18, "And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. That word mastery simply means victory or might. In other words, it's not that they're shouting because there's been a great victory, if you will, and that type of thing. That's not why they're shouting, he says. "Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome." It's not because they won the battle, and it's not because they lost the battle that they're down there shouting, but it sure sounds like somebody's fighting down there. "But the noise of them that what? Sing, do I hear." Let's read on. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing." Uh-oh, there's one we could talk about. "And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And you see, that's, you can read on the rest, but you're familiar with it. In other words, that is one of the two examples that I found in Scripture where music's mentioned in a negative and a bad way. If that's not an example of one, I don't know what is. Amen. It was so much confusion in the music that he thought there was a fight going on, Brother Gary. He thought a fight had broke out. I don't know about y'all, but some of the music today, I can't tell what's breaking out and going on with it. Amen. Can't tell what it's saying. Can't tell what's going on with it. And that's kind of the way he was here. He said, man, he said, what is taking place down there? I don't sound like they won a battle. Don't sound like they lost a battle. Wait a minute. That's singing, I guess. Right? And sometimes today when I hear the world's music and some of this music out there that's even supposed to be godly music, I think, is that singing? What is that? And it ain't because it's off key. It's because of all the, amen, the stuff, amen, going on. You know what I'm talking about. I'm simply saying tonight, here they were. There was an example of bad music mentioned. And what happened? They were worshiping something other than God. They were worshiping this golden calf. What is, after all, the Ten Commandments that he was carrying down off the mountain? What is a couple of those commandments specifically talk about? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, just to name one. Amen. About how he's the God. He's the true God. He's the only one. He's the only one they're supposed to worship. They're not to make any graven images. Amen. You think about the fact tonight, but yet what did they do when there was a graven image involved? When there was, if you will, this calf, this idol involved, what did they do? They had the world's music. Just keep that in mind. There was bad music and there was worshiping of an idol of a calf rather than the true and the living God. You read these verses on and you see that. But let me point out one more thing before we go to the second, if you will, example. In verse 20, something I found interesting I had never saw before, and I was reminded of some things I've seen in my life and something Brother Brent shared with me, shared with all of us a while back when I seen verse number 20. I never seen this scriptural, never noticed, really hit me, this spiritual example of this before. What did he do with the calf? He took the calf which they had made and burned it in the what? Fire. Ground it, amen, to powder, strawed it on the water, and he said, here, drink of it. That must have been kind of awful, huh? But you think about the fact he set it on fire. Burn it down. Why do I name that as an example? Because I've heard and I've seen even in the past growing up, and Brother Brent, I remember him talking about it a while back. I think it was here at the church y'all had. Bring your CDs. Bring the world's music. What do? Throw it in the fire and do what? Burn it up. Looks like a good spiritual thing to me. Amen. There's a scripture verse to back it up. Amen. Burn it up. That's what they did with the calf and the bad music. They took and burned it up. Amen. Strode it out. You think about the world's music leads to worshiping something other than God. Here, a golden calf. Turn with me to the second example. Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. This is the second of the two examples that I found of bad music being talked about, and let's look at the situation surrounding them in Scripture. Daniel chapter 3, and we could read a lot of these verses here, but we'll just read a few. Daniel 3 verse 4, we'll start and kind of jump in the middle here. You remember about Nebuchadnezzar, right? And how he set up the image, right? And some people say it was his image, some people say it wasn't his image, whether you think it was or it ain't, it really is not a big deal at this point. But he set up an image, right? And they were supposed to take and bow down and worship this image at a certain point. Amen. Notice verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound, and notice all the musical instruments, cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, dulcimer, and all kinds of music. That's always struck me, that phrase there. All kinds of music. Ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth the same hour, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Skip down with me, if you will, to verse number 11. Verse number 11. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Notice, just read on down a little bit more. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden calf which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, in other words, everything will be okay, right? Let's read on. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's the second example of bad music. I'd say that's bad music, a good example, wouldn't you? You think about, I don't think they was playing Victory in Jesus, do you? Wanting them to bow down to the king's image. I don't think it was Hark the Herald Angels Sing either, do you? I think instead it was the world's music. That was to take and to get them in the mood that when they heard all this kinds of music, as it says, that they were to take and do what? Bow down, fall down, and worship this image. You think about simply the two times that negative music is mentioned in the Bible, both times it's surrounding idol worship. Both times it's surrounding falling down and worshiping something other than God. Don't you find that interesting? I do. Because to me, when I look at the whole history of music and everything we've talked about and all the principles and the things in Scripture, there's a whole lot of things about music I don't know. I admit that. But I can tell one thing tonight clearly, that music that's good music does what? It lifts up the Savior and it draws us to worship Him. Bad music is something instead that lifts up something of this earth. Something fleshly. Amen. And instead of drawing us to God and worshiping Him, it draws us to worship something else. Something man-made, as that calf was. Something man-made, as Nebuchadnezzar's image was. Amen? To worship man rather than worshiping God. You think about simply tonight, the connection is clear. Only two times that negative music is mentioned in the Bible, and both times idol worship was mentioned with it. Tonight, simply, I encourage all of us, this area of music, you say, is it really that important? I believe it is. Because music helps to set our tone, our emotions, our minds, amen, everything else. I don't know about you, but there's been many times in my life from a positive standpoint when I've been down in the dumps, amen, where I've taken and been away from the Lord and not where I ought to be, and I'll hear a song and what happened. The Lord has used that many times to help me, to encourage me, to strengthen me, to convict my heart to get back on the right path. Amen. I think about the day that I got saved. It wasn't a sermon that got a hold of my heart and showed me my need to be saved. It was a song. It was a sermon in song that pointed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and showed me the truth, that fact that one day there was going to be a meeting in heaven. Amen. And would the circle be unbroken? Did I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Because all those that did, they would be there in heaven. But those that didn't, there would be another place they would spend eternity in hell. You think about how music has such an impact in our hearts and in our lives. Music is important. Amen. No wonder some people today walk around so depressed, so down in the dumps, so many marital problems and lots of other things. We all have our marital challenges, but we had our kid problems, amen. But I'm simply saying, no wonder when all the time their minds are filled with music that have all this language. Music that talks about this person running around and doing this. Music that promotes these ideas and promotes these things. Just as much as the TV shows, we need to be careful what we watch. We need to be careful when it comes to our music too, amen. We need to be careful because those things have a subtle effect on us a lot of times that we don't realize. With all these truths in mind tonight, I simply ask you this question in closing. And I think this gets down to where the rubber meets the road of everything we've talked about. And this is something between you and the Lord tonight. Does your music point you toward worshiping God or away from worshiping Him? Does your music tonight point you toward worshiping God or instead draw your attention to something else on this earth? Because music was made and intended in the beginning to be something that drew our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ and made big of Him. That lifted up and that honored Him tonight. Because I believe it kind of does one or the other mostly all the time. Amen. Either it lifts up Him or something that a lot of times gets our focus, maybe not necessarily even bad, but gets our focus a lot of times on something else and away from Him and what it ought to be on. Amen. May the Lord help us tonight to surround ourselves with good music that honors and that pleases Him. Let's pray.